When Mel Bradford asked me, with his usual charm and persuasiveness, to participate in an interesting debate, I had not realized I was asked to a hanging. Judging by the sentiments I heard this morning, the hanging is imminent. In addition, to be asked at my hanging to speak reminds me of a Viennese joke between two venerable Viennese characters, Count Bobby and Count Rudy, who, when led to the guillotine, Bobby asking Rudy politely and civilly, how, and passing the hangman, how much does one tip the good fellow? I do not know whether I should cry or laugh about what has gone on this morning. I had thought of presenting here a rather analytical proposition on the differences between conservatives and neoconservatives. I shall do this very briefly and save the last 3 minutes allotted to me for my personal, not-so-analytical comments. I think we have heard a lot about the differences between conservatives and neoconservatives. Some make sense, many don't. I think what has been totally omitted, and a factor which is chief to me, is that both groups are characterized by distinctive cognitive styles. Cognitive styles and the way they apprehend and order the world, and how they go about in putting this world into order. And I think a short description of these two different cognitive styles may go a long way to clarify the difference between the two groups, to describe their different politics, their position with each other, and the rest of society. Let's not forget the rest of society. And I have not heard anything about this morning. In this attempt, I shall be guided by the Weberian categories of social action. On the one hand, we have what Weber calls wertrationales Handeln, value-rational action, and on the other hand, we have instrumental rational action, zweckrationales Handeln. The first category, that of value-rationality, refers to a mode of orientation to absolute values. That is to say, a conscious belief in the absolute value of some philosophical, ethical, aesthetical, or other form of behavior. For the sake of the behavior, regardless of its chances of success and its consequences. Again, judging by what I've heard, this describes the value rationality of the conservative group. You can fill the details in. On the other hand, let me quickly say, I think there's something very organic, natural, about the conservatism of the old right. They are absolutely convinced of the truth claim of their principles. Interpretation of society and history is in chiefly in ideational terms, frequently at total disregard of other dimensions, be they now social, structural, or material. For that reason, much of their discussion and their efforts are concerned with the clarification and elucidation of these principles. They have little to do with what reality is. Political action for the old right is basically a principled question. It means that you only can act in terms of what the hallowed principle is, regardless of personal costs and political costs. If you now look at the neoconservatives, you find a very different situation. There's nothing organic or natural about the way they look at the world or try to order it. Usually, you find individuals who are beset by doubts, probing, questing, testing, lonely, and embattled. They don't have the comfort of enjoying to rely upon hallowed principles or traditions. Everything has to be done de novo, as it were. Their instrumental rationality propels them towards goal-oriented behavior. That includes the use of clearly identified specific means for the achievement of objectively identifiable goals. It means, or at least their hope, that their behavior depends upon means which also take into consideration the possible consequences of the use of these means. And they do hope that their actions can be tested and can be shown to, empirically shown and proven to be correct. I do not want to go into the history of neoconservatism, but let me quickly say that I do think that neoconservatives have become neoconservatives is because of that cognitive style to which they adhere, at a time when their peers in the academy and polity began to move to the left. They once shared the same cognitive ordering framework, but left it behind because that framework, and we do know that as neoconservatives, does not suffice to give meaning to individual and social life. When they moved to the left, neoconservatives who stayed true to their cognitive style could not follow because of the measurable destructive consequences of the left-wing values for the polity and society. At the same time, they could not follow or fall easily to take up the principles of the old right, precisely because they also presented not yet tested utility value. In the course of their deliberations and their searches and their quest, neoconservatives came to realize a number of things which had not realized before, namely that all of social life depends upon values, and they had to take up that question. They also realized that it was not enough to simply have an explanatory framework. They had to, that society depends upon a political philosophy. When they tried to work up every issue by means of their cognitive rationality instrument, they also found out that the principles of the conservatives proved to be utility value for the construction of that political life which we have to defend. Now, let me quickly say, I do not think there's any chance or any likelihood that either group will give up its particular cognitive style. Neoconservatives will continue to look at the world through this prism, just as conservatives will do that as they have done before. This, I think, is basically a positive thing because they have very different battlegrounds. Neoconservatives are much more in the trenches, in the academic institutions. Conservatives try to build up a mass movement. There are different roads and there are different ways to do this, but it can be done together. I do think it would be a disaster if the two groups would part ways. I do think that the reason why conservatives have not been at all effective in the academy of the country has much to do with their particular cognitive style, which does not follow the accepted principles of our academic enterprise. If the academy can be brought around to and can be brought to its senses, then only via the cognitive style of the neoconservatives. Let me say now two more things that occur to me this morning. I do, coming from Boston, where there are about 32 different institutions of higher learning with 250,000 students and a proportionate number of academics, all on the left or liberal left, where the Boston Globe is the most revered newspaper, the battles we have to fight look very, very different indeed than the ones that I heard here. The battles are over the hearts and minds of students. And how are you going to do that? With simply declared sacred principles.